the news.
Mark Drummond checking in on text line. Another great scene from that movie. Oh, De Niro with the bat to the head. You're not a teammate. With the whole baseball analogy, then he just whacks the guy in the head because he got taken down by Ness earlier, a couple scenes earlier with the poos.
I like that scene. That's
you like
a good
the bat
one,
scene?
Because he's like, yeah, let's talk about baseball.
Yeah, he's got the bat and stuff. And then the friend has no idea it's coming. All right, here we go.
And he's sitting there smiling, he chomping
right,
on the cigar.
And agreeing with everything's teamwork. Yeah,
that's right, boss. That's right.
You're about to go down. You know who went down on Saturday with the Vegas Golden Knights? Columbus Jackets, Blue Jackets, opened a 3-game Western Conference trip with victories in Colorado and Arizona. Then they came here and took out the Knights 4-3. Cam Atkinson with 2 goals, the equalizer, and then the power play to end it. Let's be simple about it. This was not your best Marc-Andre Fleury. He was not good Saturday night. There were goals that got past him that probably haven't and shouldn't. I know McNabb got beat on the equalizer, but as Gerard Gallant said afterwards, Cam Atkinson has great feet. He's a big-time player. He's a 30-goal scorer. This year he's got 31, second 30-goal campaign of his career. And they were just better. They were better. I thought the Golden Knights played a really good first period.
Mm-hmm.
Probably played a really solid third period, except for a few miscues. Were horrible in the second. And as Nate Schmidt said, if you don't play 3 good ones, it's just too hard to win games in the league. So I think 25, 24 games left of the regular season, a lot of them at home. Again, it would take a major, major near collapse not to make the playoffs at this point, given how far they are from the next from some of those wild cards. But this is another loss at home, and a little of the mystique's getting rubbed off here. Now, tomorrow night, Arizona's coming in. Not a great team, but they're a Pacific Division team, so you need them. Need to get them. But I'll tell you what, Thursday, Toronto, Saturday, Nashville, they better find some things here. Fleury wasn't good the other night. I mean, it's just that simple. He knows he wasn't good. You saw him afterwards talking about it. This is the thing about Fleury. Fleury's no Tom Crean. When he tells it, it tells us it was everyone else. Loses, he takes the blame. That's what he does. That's who he is. So I wasn't surprised at all. But when he was taking the blame this time, it's like saying, hey, 4 got in, a couple I thought I could have had. Well, and this time he was right. I mean, he wasn't good the other night. But when you play as much as he does, which I don't know, is every frickin' day of the year, you're going to have those games.
Gerard Gallant, after the loss, explaining the third period.
I don't think anything went wrong. I think we played a real good third period. I mean, they scored 2 goals that, Cam Atkinson got some great speed, and he made a great play. So you can't just because Nabber didn't catch him, and I mean the guy's got an unbelievable feat. So that happens in part of a game, and then the power play goal was a great shot. And like I said, it was unfortunate because I thought we played a good first period and a real good third period, and they capitalized late. So it doesn't happen to us too often, but it's a tough one tonight.
So the Golden Knights have their first 3-game home losing streak of the season after falling to CBJ on Saturday. But as you said, you've got a remaining schedule where you got 15 home games and 10 road games, and you're just trying to maintain a good spot in the division because you don't want any swings. You may have a large lead, is between you and your next guy, and let's say you lead 13 points over Arizona right now, and they're kind of battling for a wild card spot. You just don't want to leave anything to chance at this point.
No, you don't. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. Now, again, it's either in the 2-3 hole there, probably in the Pacific, or I don't think they're slipping to a wild card. I just don't think there are too many home games coming up. Heck, they can still make a run at winning the division if they get things going in the right way. I mean, what are they, 6-7 points behind Calgary, who's stumbling a little and plays Tampa tomorrow night, I think. So it's there for them, but I think they... there are some things that are troublesome. They're not the greatest scoring team. They have nights of droughts, which means Fleury has to do everything.
Yep.
And like a game the other night, you figure when Eakin gives you the lead there, you close it out. And, look, McNabb got beat by a great player. But I do think Flower could have been better the other night. Now you just bounce back against Arizona. You're not going to have a great time every night out as a goalie. He's played a lot of minutes. He's played a lot of games. So he's got to bounce back. What were your thoughts off the top of your head on what we like to refer to here as Chrissy's League of the Alliance of American Football? What were your thoughts on this thing? Did you watch a lot of it?
I tried to watch as much as I could on Saturday and Sunday, and I felt like the league itself, the broadcast teams, did a good job by kind of highlighting the players constantly that they are you know, legit players from D1 football schools to former NFL players. Like, they gave them the best possible scenario to, like, all right, we know who you are, and this is going to be a legit league. Although, I think we should all be, you know, mindful of, this is very difficult to go and expect offenses to do well right away. And most, offshoots of the NFL professional football leagues, it's the defenses that always have the advantage in the first couple weeks. I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens. I think certain things were good, including this out of Orlando, where Steve Spurrier ran the Dilly Dilly, the Philly Philly. It's the Orlando special. This is from CBS Sports.
Penalties on Desmond Lawrence. First and goal from the 5. A 46-yard penalty. And it's a handoff to Akeem Hunt. The reverse. Marshall throwing it back. And it's caught for the touchdown. The Orlando special.
The Philly special. But it's the winter. What do Philadelphia people do in the winter? They go to Florida, right?
You know, you need some offense like that. You need a little spark, a little razzle dazzle. That will help. But to think that they got 3 million viewers on Saturday on their inaugural day, that's pretty good. Although we do remember the XFL had about 1.3 million on their first week, and then it faded into dust.
We've had Costas and the whole concussion theme the previous segment. So I'm sure this is the one highlight everyone remembers from the season. It's the Mike Bravacci, the quarterback, just getting slammed to the ground and lit up, helmet off. My guess is, had it been an NFL player, Mike Bravacci taken off by Sean Washington. Washington would have been arrested on the spot if that was the NFL with about 30 flags. So, okay, let me ask you this then. Is this one way the league thinks we need viewers? We can't throw as many flags. It's a tough game. We're going to bring a little of that back because this dude just got hammered in the head. Nothing called. His lineman fell on the ball. He fell on the ball. His lineman fell on it. But what did you think about that? Is this a way that could potentially be really dangerous for that league to say we need TV viewers?
They definitely got a big pop on that on social media.
Oh, where yeah, it was everywhere.
People were considering, like, this is now too violent of a league if they're going to allow this. And by the way, isn't the whole point of this AAF to become a minor league for the National Football League?
They better stop throwing flags on that thing, because right. The league would be like, we're not letting that go on a quarterback.
You'll just be like recycling players who are learning the wrong way, the way that they want us to start playing football. And to another degree, what is the end game for the AAF? Because why would the NFL want a minor league system when they have college that does that for free?
Well, and the other thing is, you've got another league coming again right next year. You've got the return of the USFL, right? I mean, is that
the XFL?
I'm losing track now of all these leagues, but they're coming. I mean, there's just not that many good players out there. There's not. The rosters of the NFL are, in the 50s. You now have this Alliance League. Now you're going to create another league. I don't know if there's the hunger for it either. I guess we're just going to have to watch. Like you said, 3 million people watched?
Right.
Not an enormous number. And by the way, it's also, you got a little withdrawal because football just ended and you're bummed, and it's, so many months till the NFL. So you're going to get a couple of those people just want to watch more football, and they're not ready to give it up yet for the summer. But 3 leagues? How bad would the players get to in terms of the ability? I mean, think about that. 3 leagues of teams, with the NFL obviously being the better one, but the next 2 leagues, who's playing in those? I mean, it's just not great. Trent Richardson is like the biggest star in the world of this Alliance League. I mean, it's Trent Richardson. So now you go down to another league. Who's the biggest star there?
You have to go and like stratify like the levels of talent. And there's even going to be a Pacific Pro League for football as well. So there'll be technically 4 going on in one calendar year. And I just can't wait for the Salt Lake Stallions to play a home game. Can you imagine a home game right now in Salt Lake City? In the outdoor arena or outdoor stadium where the Cougars play? You're really asking for a whole lot. Wouldn't it be wonderful football weather where you're just like encased in snow?
We're in football weather right now.
We're 9 people would show up for this game.
You got some snow in Summerlin last night. My daughter's unhappy with you. We didn't get any. We live right near you.
How'd you guys miss the snow?
I don't know. We missed it, though. But we were watching the Grammys, and all of a sudden she's screaming about you being on social media saying the blizzard of 2019. You got a couple flakes in the backyard. You're going crazy like I'm a lunatic.
Should have let me into that row.
Well, you're not coming in. into the house.
You should let me in so we can pray together, brother.
It's not clear from what three Clemson players got their. It's not clear where three Clemson players got their performance-enhancing drugs tested positive prior to the Cotton Bowl on December 29th. But Dabo Swinney appears to already have excuses at the ready in case the culprit came from inside his house. Swinney told the Post and Courier that the process is out of his hands and the university's legal team is looking at all possibilities, which includes a chance Clemson gave the players something the athletic department thought was cleared by the NCAA. Oh yeah, I mean, there's a chance it could come from anything, Swinney said. They're going to test everything and look at everything, and that's the problem. As you look at this stuff, it could be a contaminant that came from anything. That was something that was cleared and not a problem, and all of a sudden it becomes something far worse. Okay. I know he has to protect his kids. I get that. I mean, you saw what the Knights did in terms of Nate Schmidt, and there's two things that happen here when people fail drug tests. One, you're going to deny you ever did anything intentionally until later on, hello, Lamb, Star Armstrong, you have to come out and say it. And also, your coach and or as Schmidt is, the organization is going to defend you in most all cases. In fact, 69187, name the last time that didn't happen, where in the immediacy of the moment, they didn't defend their own guy. But Dabo, start educating yourself. Start educating yourself. I would think in a college weight room, supplements are available, legal supplements. I get that. I'm sure they take things that are legal. But when three guys get popped and B samples come back positive, sorry, you got popped. Mark Ziegler's going to talk college basketball at 8:30 with us, but there's no one better in the world, really, who's more educated on drugs in terms of athletes. And he would just say, he says the same thing every time. What's the B sample say? And once the B sample comes back positive, then you're popped. Don't want to hear excuses. Don't want to hear where it might have come from. Hello, Canelo. Don't want to hear about your meat. The meat, the steak.
Well,
don't want to hear about that.
Maybe it was all those burgers they had at the White House. Maybe some of them were kind of like tainted with some stuff beyond the border. But it was a little disturbing in that comment where he says they're going to test everything and look at everything, and that's the problem.
No, that's what they should do.
I'm sorry.
That's what they should do.
Yeah, every program goes through the same thing. Don't blame the situation on the testing itself. Yeah, he's like, well, if you really look at this stuff, it could be a contaminant that came from anything. Oh, boy. I mean, really? You're going to go down that road?
Yeah, I mean, you're taking a high road that's not available to you. They got popped. And it could be from something inside your building. It could be completely nefarious and that they're juicing. You don't know. You just know that they were suspended, and rightly so, because they tested positive. Three out of how many kids, 80-something scholarships, but there's over 100 on each team. So three out of over 100 got popped. Sorry. Now, if 70 do, you either got a team of, Chinese and Russian and German swimmers from back in the day, or something's going wrong inside your athletic department about what you're feeding kids or giving kids in terms of supplements. But this was only three, which means, you know what? They tested positive, you move on from.
There's no way around it.
No,
sorry.
There's no way around it.
All right. It's the Press Box right now. It's 8:14 on your Monday morning. When we come back, we'll talk about the Raiders, how they are now possibly in talks with Oakland again, and how a few mock drafts have already singled out a few players they should take with their first three picks. Mark Ziegler at 8:30, 9 o'clock, Steph McKenzie, 9:30, Nick Bogdanovich here on the Press Box Morning Show. This part of the show is brought to you by USA 7's Rugby, World Championship Rugby. You know, it comes back to Sam Boyd Stadium every year. This time, March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, 16 countries. Battle for world supremacy. Do not miss USA 7's Rugby and Beer Festival. Tickets are on sale now at unlvtickets.com. Traffic.
That's the sound cosmic.
Watch out for the accidents on Durango northbound at Oso Blanco Lane. Right lane is blocked there. We also have accidents along the surface streets. That's Patrick at Sandhill, Silverado Ranch at Pollock Drive, Rainbow at Windmill, Lamb Road at Lake Mead Boulevard, and on Mojave at Bonanza. Traffic brought to you by the all-new Finley Volvo Cars of Las Vegas, West Sahara and Jones, 5385 West Sahara.
The Finley Automotive Group is excited to introduce the all-new Finley Volvo, located at 5385 West Sahara Avenue. Experience their award-winning cars and SUVs and see why Volvo is the fastest-growing luxury brand in Las Vegas. Call 702-982-4900 or visit finleyvolvolv.com today.
If you're in law enforcement, military, or security, you can save 20% on all your tactical gear at the new location of IDO Tactical. And if you log on to IDO Tactical's Facebook page, you'll find even more savings. Just another great way for you to save a few bucks on quality tactical gear. IDO Tactical has it all. Police gear, security gear, military gear, and much more. IDO Tactical is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. on West Sahara at Torrey Pines behind Green Valley Grocery.
Guys, let's face it, your health is an us issue. How you feel and perform not only affects you, but it also affects your loved one and your entire family. Whether it's having the energy to take the kids to the park or having a fulfilling relationship, it all starts with a healthy you. If you've been having difficulty losing weight, feeling tired, or experiencing low libido, you may have low testosterone, very common in men as they age. The good news is, a visit to Universal Men's Clinic could put you back on the right track.
I'm Dr. Charles Arakaki for Universal Men's Clinic, where they specialize in treating erectile dysfunction and low testosterone. With modern medicine and the latest technology, patients experience a high level of care.
Make an appointment this month, bring your spouse or partner, and your office visit will be free. Let Universal Men's Clinic help you live your best life. Call Universal Men's Clinic at 702-430-6994. That's 702-430-6994. Or visit universalmensclinic.com.
Everyone knows that even good people fall on hard times. Your credit cards get maxed out and you get behind on your taxes. Unfortunately, the IRS is not as understanding, and they won't stop until they collect. They have the power to take your paycheck, freeze your bank accounts, even your home or business could be at risk. It's simply not worth it to take on the IRS by yourself. You need to call the experts at Optima Tax Relief. When you call, be sure to ask about the Fresh Start Initiative. It's a special IRS tax debt assistance program that could save you thousands, even tens of thousands. Optima will immediately provide you with a team of professionals who could protect you from the IRS, ensuring that you get the best possible outcome. The Better Business Bureau has awarded them an A-plus rating, and you will too. So put the hard times behind you and call Optima today for a free consultation.
Call 800-375-2922. 800-375-2922. 800-375-2922.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
If you need service for your vehicle, there are only two places that make it extremely convenient for you. Visit Busy Boots Automotive at Durango and Flamingo, or Zip Zap Auto at Durango and Cheyenne. They provide free diagnosis and free towing with repairs, plus free shuttle service, Wi-Fi, gourmet coffee, and much more. No appointment needed. Open 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. On your first visit, get 10% off up to $50. At your convenience, visit Busy Boots Automotive on Durango and Flamingo, or Zip Zap Auto on Durango and Cheyenne.
Looking for something magical to do this Valentine's season? Ethel M. Chocolates is here to help you celebrate at the Lights of Love Garden Display. From now till February 16th, come brighten up your evening underneath 500,000 gorgeous lights, perfect for a night with your family, friends, or Valentine. And while you're here, enter for a chance to win two tickets through February 11th at noon to watch the Golden Knights play on Valentine's Day from our luxury suite. For more information or to shop now, visit ethelm.com.
Hi, it's the Herd. I've had the best year ever making picks for the Blazing Five. Now I'm going to give you my top pick for 2019 and Vegas. Go to Ford Country in the Valley Auto Mall when you need a new car. Look, with all the free stuff they give, free registration, a free $500 Visa gift card with purchases of any new vehicle, you know, you're easily going to walk out on top. Go to Ford Country in the Valley Auto Mall, or just go to FordCountryLV.com and get your free stuff today. Tell them the Herd sent you.
See your Vegas Golden Knights on February 12th against Arizona on the Flight Deck.
Presented by Allegiant.
The Flight Deck is where all the off-the-ice excitement happens, from the Knights Castle to the Nightline.
Tickets in the Flight Deck are standing room only and include all-you-can-eat food, beer, and wine.
Tickets are just $140.
Go to LVSportsNetwork.com for the link and use the promo code RADIO.
Sponsored by Glenn Lerner Injury Attorneys. In a wreck and need a check? One call, that's all.
Resale and transfer are restricted on these Flight Deck sales. Tickets will be delivered by a flash seats 48 hours before the game.
Universal Solar Direct. 702-483-6900.
79863.
How can a fully stocked restroom improve your image? How can serviced fire extinguishers or a first aid cabinet make your employees more prepared? How can comfortable work apparel make your business more productive? For over a million customers, the answer is simple. Cintas. Cintas delivers everything you need to open your doors with confidence. Because helping keep businesses well-equipped, clean, and looking their best, that's our business.
Oh, I'm ready!
Get Cintas and get ready for the workday.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
Get a $50 credit to give your first job posting premium placement at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, quality standards, and usage limits apply. Additional terms online.
Increase your profit from your business or sell it. You decide. When your business is featured on the new reality TV show Sell It or Max It, go to sellitormaxit.com to register your business for casting. That's sellitormaxit.com.
It's the Press Box on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.
Well, you know, it's been through the whole process, it's been a balancing act, so to speak, of trying to enjoy the fact that we're going to be moving to Las Vegas, but not disrespecting the fans in Oakland. They're very, very dear to us and very important to us. And so that's been the toughest thing. And we're still the Oakland Raiders right now. And my goal is to try to bring us a championship while we're still playing in Oakland for 2018, and if things work out, in 2019 as well.
There he is, owner Mark Davis. A while back, talking about what would happen in 2019 with the team. It turns out they might be playing where they've always played, that we've known them at least since the relocation, and for a while now in Oakland. Less than a week after the San Francisco mayor voiced opposition to the Raiders using her city as a temporary home, the team has resumed negotiations with Oakland Alameda County Coliseum officials to remain there in 2019. This isn't a surprise, I don't think, to either of us. I talked to Mark Davis on the phone the other night, and you know, he said, the funny thing is everyone's talking for us or against us, but we haven't said anything. And in that point, he's right. They're not ones to make a lot of bold, crazy statements before something's done. At least he doesn't seem to be that person. Usually Bedain talks for them, the president, Mark Bedain. But again, the only thing, I think if the lawsuit had not been out there, this would have already been done. They just stay where they're at. I still think they're going to stay where they're at, and maybe someone in city council has something to do with dropping a lawsuit or backing off that, to allow them to come back to Oakland and play there for the 2019 season. But even if that doesn't happen and the lawsuit is out there, look, we've said it time and time again. They need to make a decision here. This league needs to know now. Scheduling in this league is incredibly vital and important to all those who pay the NFL a lot of money to broadcast games and to know when things are happening. So my guess is, I just think they're going back to Oakland, Clay.
Like, it's been a wild cat and mouse game, you know? It really has. It's been going on for, like, a long time for these two teams, for these two, like forces to just settle something here. And it's almost like they're acting like they've never dealt with each other before. The way the relationship's been going on for 20 years now, that the way they continue to talk, it's like, what was this other president, what's her name? Saw it here in the story. She says, City Council President Rebecca Kaplan, quote, "If the Raiders wanted to offer us a huge increased lease payment, much more than we previously discussed, in exchange for dropping the lawsuit, we might be willing to consider it." And it's the first talk since they've had the lawsuit announced in December. This is just not the way to negotiate. You just have no value of leverage whatsoever here. I mean, like,
either that or they perceive they have leverage because they haven't gotten a deal with anyone else done yet. I mean, they might just think, all right, what happened to San Francisco? All right, what happened to San Diego? What happened to all these places that you said you had leverage with and that you had deals with? Now, maybe they still do behind the scenes. I know of one town that I believe offered them the stadium to play on opposite weeks. But again, maybe they're, you know, maybe Oakland's taking a shot here and saying, okay, well, let's see what else you got here. I mean, you know, he's already said he'll double the fee, which will be like $7.5 million in terms of the rent. And it's only for 7 games because they're going to London again. Maybe a preseason game here. We still haven't seen the preseason schedule. I think they're going back there. I think her saying that out in the paper is kind of stupid. It's not the way to negotiate. But I think Oakland also understands Mark Davis has a deadline here, and Roger Goodell wants to know. So when, you know, the days pass and no deal is done and it gets closer to the end of February, the NFL absolutely must know for scheduling and TV purposes. Yeah, I would think each day that passes, Oakland has more and more leverage. Because unless you're telling me there's another deal for somewhere else, then it appears you want to come back. There are mock drafts going everywhere, going crazy now, not surprisingly. Pretty much everyone is assuming with the fourth overall pick, the Raiders will take a pass rusher. Now, the two best ones, Nick Bosa of Ohio State and Josh Allen of Kentucky, unless Gruden slash Mayock would trade up, are probably going to be gone. And they probably, in all likelihood, will be the first two picks between Arizona and San Francisco. But there is a kid from our Dabo team, Clelin Ferrell, the edge rusher from Clemson. Most draft experts say they think Mayock will be enamored with the length and the athleticism. Obviously, they need to find a replacement for Khalil Mack later in the draft. When they have two picks in terms of first-round picks, two of the three, people are surmising that they would look back to offense. I would make the argument one of those two better also be defensively, but I also think they need a wide receiver.
Yep.
There's no question about that. Now, this one mock draft on CBS has them at 27th with the Raiders pick via Dallas taking A.J. Brown, the wide receiver, out of Ole Miss. Before that, by the way, at 24, it has him via Chicago. The Khalil Mack trade has him taking T.J. Hockenson, the tight end from Iowa. You have to remember Jared Cook is a free agent. I think it's going to be more Mayock and Gruden saying we'll bring you back at our price. But Jared Cook had a hell of a year, made the Pro Bowl only because there was an injury elsewhere. But he made the Pro Bowl as an alternate and then came in. If Jared Cook gets the offers he likes in the market, I could see him walking. And if that's the case, then I would assume Mayock slash Gruden would look for a tight end. And this mock draft says T.J. Hockenson is arguably the best receiving tight end in the class, and he's definitely the best blocker. That brings you back to Derek Carr and protecting him in any way you can. So if this guy's a hell of a blocker, then maybe this is the way you look with one of those picks.
I was thinking maybe they would go veteran on that for a tight end just so you could have blocking for him. But, boy, a tight end, that's a lot. I mean, he really has to be a very special playmaking guy, and everyone loves what he did in the Big Ten. But, I mean, they have to get every pick right. So you have to think, like, when you look at the 4th, the 24th, and then the 27th, those have to be like your A-plus picks.
I think they should go two defense and then get a wide receiver. And they absolutely, Carr needs wide receivers, no question. If it's this A.J. Brown kid from Ole Miss or whoever, get the best wide receiver on the board at that point. But, boy, they need help defensively. So they're going to get, in all likelihood, one of the edge guys. Now, the only thing that could mess this up, the three top edge guys by far are Nick Bosa, Josh Allen, and the Clelin Ferrell kid from Clemson. You have to remember, though, there's a team at 3, the Jets. Now, this mock draft has them taking the defensive tackle from Alabama, Quinnen Williams. If someone sees the first two edge guys off the board and know the Raiders are going to take this kid, the Jets could start dealing. You know, you could just really get it. So you have to be careful there when there's 3 and you're not top 3. I mean, if you're top 3 and there's 3, you're fine. You're getting one. But there's that Jets team there that, you know, they could deal. New coach, and then
Gase has just hired Greg Williams and Joe Vitt. So those two linked together from Bounty Gate in the New Orleans system not too long ago. But if you get the fiery Greg Williams in on like a war room and on team needs, yeah, they're going to go for the edge rusher. They're going to go for somebody that's going to cause panic on the line.
That's not good. There's not a ton of edge guys. I mean, there are other edge guys besides those three, but not that separates themselves as those three do. All right, when we come back, Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune, will talk Mountain West basketball. How much does experience in youth really mean when it comes to these things? Back after this.
That's the sound Cosmic.
829 traffic. We have an accident on Charleston northbound at Lamb Boulevard. In the intersection, left lane is blocked. Must have a crash on Durango southbound at Charleston. Right lane is blocked in the intersection there. Also a crash on Durango near 215 northbound. Northbound at Oso Blanco Lane. Right lane is blocked there. The other accidents, they include Silverado Ranch at Pollock, Patrick at Sandhill. We also have an accident on Buffalo at Charleston and on Rainbow at Windmill.
How can a fully stocked restroom improve your image? How can serviced fire extinguishers or a first aid cabinet make your employees more prepared? How can comfortable work apparel make your business more productive? For over 1 million customers, the answer is simple. Cintas.
Cintas delivers everything you need to open your doors with confidence. Because helping keep businesses well-equipped, clean, and looking their best, that's our business.
Oh, I'm ready!
Get Cintas and get ready for the workday.
Hey Vegas, Clay Baker here with you, and now it's time to get back to clean for 2019. That's right, Zero Res is back at it, and they want you to start the new year in an extraordinarily clean, fresh, and healthy home. And it starts now. They will pre-treat, clean, sanitize 3 rooms of carpet for just $89. $89! This is their lowest price ever. And they'll clean 100 square feet of tile for free. That's normally $125 alone, but it's free, free, free! All you gotta do is call Zero Res now. And as for the Clay Baker special, 702-840-3333, or go online, ZeroResLasVegas.com. 702-840-3333. Oh, I know how it is. You got the friends and family over at your house, dropping stuff, making spots all over the place. You can make the pet stains, the traffic lanes, all those spots disappear for one low price, $89. Call Zero Res now and ask for the Clay Baker ESPN special. Minimums apply.
Clean carpet, Zero Res it. Z-E-R-O-R-E-Z. Call 840-3333.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
It's the Press Box on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.
Oh, back here on the Press Box morning show. I'm Clay Baker. Can't Grady is here with me, I think.
I can't kick it. I can't kick this thing. Diet.
Yeah, but you try the honey. Just keep it.
Well, you know, you did give me the tea
and
the honey.
Just pour the honey in your mouth.
I might just like pour the honey in my mouth like a vat. Just like pour it down my throat.
It works.
It's just, I can't kick this thing. I don't know what's happening. I went to church yesterday with you. We said prayers. I know you were over there praying about me. Was it wrong that I wanted more than anything to do at church yesterday and snap another shot of you praying?
Yeah.
And like put it on Twitter saying Clay's praying that Ed gets better.
I'm concentrating on Ed's throat so he can stop hacking microbes in my face during these morning shows. It's 3 hours of bliss.
I used to hack on this guy all the time back in the day. His name is Mark Ziegler. Follow him on Twitter at SDUTZiegler. Sports writer, San Diego Tribune. San Diego State basketball, Olympic soccer, doping, everything. I need some dope. How are you, kid?
I'm doing pretty well. I just looked into the ad there. There's really a Clay Baker special.
Oh yeah!
If I go in and ask that is impressive. That means you hit the big time.
And you'll hit the big time too when you get 3 rooms of carpet pre-treated, cleaned, and sanitized, Mark, for just $89.
Well, you know where you do that, Mark. You know where you get those carpets. You get them at opendoor.com. Here to sell your home, opendoor.com/radio. They're my good friends. All right. So this Mountain West, and we're going to talk to Nick Bogdanovich from William Hill at 9:30. I have no clue, unless you're a complete, utter degenerate, how you'd ever make a bet this year, even with Reno involved, because the spreads are going to be so high because everyone thinks they're blowing everyone out, on the Mountain West this year, on a week-to-week basis with the scores and the results. Have you figured this league out?
No, there's a stat, and I have to look it up lately on KenPom, buried in the KenPom of among the conferences of most lopsided games, and he defines a lopsided game by, I think, anything 19 points and over. A final margin, and for a long time, I gotta make sure they're still there. The Mountain West was far and away number one in the country, and they had something like 40% of their games were blowouts. I mean, the swings in these games, and not even just the final scores, the swings in these games. You know, San Diego State had a 20-point lead at Fresno State, blew that lead, and lost. In this last game against Utah State, they went on a 23-0 run in the first half, and then ended up winning. Of course, they blew that lead, and then they blew a couple more. But, I mean, it's just – this is what happens, though, when you get a bunch of really bad teams in a league, because bad teams can't sustain focus, energy, concentration, particularly on the road, for long periods of time. And so that's where you see these swings happening. And it's just, you know, it's one good team and 10 pretty average to bad teams.
You wrote before the Utah State game, because the Rebels had gone to Logan before that, and one thing we hear a lot about around here, at least this year, is young. But I kind of counter that a lot with, yeah, it's college basketball. Tell me something I don't know. Freshmen usually play. But you wrote something in terms of the KenPom rankings, with Wyoming being the youngest team in the league, but also Utah State, who's had a very nice season and would probably be the only other one besides Nevada getting any kind of bracketology play at this point. They are the second youngest team based on KenPom, younger than UNLV, younger than San Diego State. So bring us through what you think is most important here, because you also wrote about Sam Merrill having gone on a mission, being in his mid-20s now. But to me, as much as people say that's an advantage, I read Sam Merrill's quotes, and that to me is also a disadvantage. He said, I put on 10 pounds of fat. I didn't touch a ball but more than once or twice a week, if that. I had to come back after 2 years. I wasn't playing at all. I mean, you know, everyone can say Sam Merrill's in his mid-20s, but there was a long time where he didn't pick up a basketball. So where do you put this old age concept?
Well, that's why KenPom calls it experience. And I think what we need to start doing, instead of saying young, we need to say experienced or inexperienced. So if you want to just go by strictly experience, college Division I, college basketball experience, minutes played, Utah State is actually the least experienced team in the Mountain West, even less experienced than Wyoming. Mm-hmm. But now if you want to start talking youngest and oldest, well, yeah, they have some guys who are older because four of their starters actually went on missions. But, you know, the thing is about age in college basketball now, it's really, really skewed. Because, you know, okay, the guys went on the missions. I asked him, I said, where did you play? He went to Nicaragua, and he was mostly based in the capital of Managua. But I said, well, where did you actually play basketball the few times you played? He goes, well, every now and then we'd run into this outdoor cement court with rusty rims. Sometimes they weren't even, you know, the right height, didn't have nets. And if I could scrounge up a ball, I could stand out there and shoot for 15 minutes, and then I was on my way. So I'm not even sure that counts as basketball. It's not like he's getting into open runs at the, you know, at the Managua Rec Center or Boys and Girls Club, you know, on Friday nights. I mean, he was barely playing. And so, yeah, he has to come back. And I asked him, I said, you know, people say that you should just get 5 years to play four. And whatever you do within those 5 years is up to you. But if you go on a mission, that counts among your 5 years. And he said, you know, I get why it could be a little bit more of an advantage in football because it's about your size and maturity of your body. He goes, but it's not as much of a skill sport as basketball. I think in basketball it really makes a difference. You have to relearn all kinds of skills, and that takes time. And so, I understand what he's saying. The flip side of that I tried to point out today is that, you know, so many guys are holdbacks now in the United States in basketball, and then you have a lot of African guys who come from countries where there are no birth certificates, and you have no idea how old these guys actually are. So, I mean, I'm sure there are some teams, San Diego State and UNLV both have a bunch of Africans that probably actually have some guys who are older than these guys who've been on missions. So I just think you throw that whole age thing out and you go by experience.
I think you'd have to, too. We're speaking with Mark Ziegler here from the San Diego Union Tribune. When you bring up that point, it's also the Aztecs have somebody from Ghana, where Nathan Mensah comes out and actually has a big game against Utah State. First double-double, I think he kind of joined Kawhi Leonard in a rarefied air there.
Yeah, you know what? It's really interesting because you want to talk about experience. He's older. He's listed as 20 years old, freshman, but he only played 5 years of his life. I mean, he was in Ghana. He's a soccer player like everybody else was, and then he switched to basketball, and so he's still really learning the game, and some days he's better than others. But whenever he plays against other guys who are foreign or from Africa, he has these huge games, and there's some weird rivalry there, and I haven't quite figured it out yet. But he played against a guy from Senegal at CSUN, and the guy was tearing up San Diego State, and he said, I'll guard him. And he was shorter than him, smaller than him, quicker than him. He goes, I'll guard him, and he shut him down. And he had this big game against Nemia Queta from Portugal, although I think he might have African parents. And so he's kind of emerging, but he just can't do it on the road. So we'll see what happens when he gets, you know, either play Colorado State on Tuesday night and see if he can do it on the road. He's had some really good games at home lately and some just disappearing acts on the road.
Does this league, you know, I think I always, anytime we mention this league, I take UNR and I put them to the side because I just think Reno is a different animal in terms of how Musk recruits, how many transfers he takes. You don't know year to year who's going to show up in his campus. So let's take the other 10. I'm not so sure I'm going to sit here and say it's better next year. I know Merrill comes back. I think if Utah State somehow could get that kid back, the freshman big, Queta, because he will absolutely, obviously, I think at worst test the waters, given his size. But they could get him back with Merrill. Okay, now you're talking probably a decent team. But I can't sit here and say this is going to be exponentially better a year from now. And you've also written about this, and maybe you can talk about this. Why has the Mountain West fallen from a league with four or five NCAA tournament bids to praying someone can upset Reno in a tournament to get a second?
Well, I think what we're seeing here, and the Mountain West really is no different than a lot of mid-major conferences now, is, we've talked about this for years, about the Power Conference money, and it trickling down into other sports. So, they get all this money, and what do? They spend it on football. And they start spending it, they get new practice facilities, they get new locker rooms, they pay their assistant coaches more, they charter better planes, on and on it goes. But sooner or later, you build everything you can build, and you have $40 million or $43 million a year in the case of the SEC. It could be as much as, in the Big Ten, as much as 50 or 60 in the next few years per school, per year, coming into your coffers. And in a Mountain West school like UNLV or San Diego State, it's $1 to $1.5 million a year. And over the course of 5 years, that's $200 million difference. And if just $10 or $15 million trickles down to the basketball program, huge difference. And I think that you just don't see the recruiting mistakes. I think that the kids know the TV contracts are better in the power conferences. They have a better shot of playing in the NCAA tournament. And it just, everything's nicer and the coaches are better and for the most part, and it just starts to add up. And so you don't see Kawhi Leonard's going to San Diego State anymore. You see them going to the Power Conference teams. And so what's happened is that these mid-major conferences are just falling off. And I think that the greatest example of that is the Mountain West. I just don't think they can keep up anymore. And I think it doesn't mean you can't have a good team. You can have a good team still. It just means it's very hard to sustain if you're not named Gonzaga, which has some of its own advantages that others don't. But if you're not Gonzaga, you're not going to sustain. And for a program like San Diego State, it's been 7 times the NCAA tournament in the last 9 years, which is an incredible record. I just don't think you can reasonably have that expectation of that kind of sustained success in the future. And I think this is what we're seeing in the Mountain West. And I don't think they'll be any better or any worse next year. Just going to be what they are, which is a mid-major league that's dead flat average.
That's the voice of Mark Ziegler, SD. UT Ziegler on Twitter with the San Diego Union Tribune. All right, let's talk about UNR. Last week, as they defeated Colorado State on Wednesday night, the Wolfpack up big time, up 14, tossing an alley-oop with just seconds left. And Muss, at the end of the game, Coach Muss says, we're not going to just dribble out the clock or not play D at the end of games. Efficiency factors into the net, and every possession matters. I'm not sure that the Colorado State staff was cool with that.
No, and you can blame Muss, but I think you also have to blame the system that they have this year. Obviously, they've gotten rid of the RPI and have this new net metric, which is more complicated and more stat based than RPI. RPI was strictly results based. There was no component in there for margin of victory. It was whether you won or lost, home, road, or neutral. That was it. And then what did your opponents do and your opponent's opponents do? And that's how it was calculated. Very antiquated, but some people say it was fair because of that. Now you have lots of statistics from the game. How efficient were you scoring? How efficient were you defensively?
Right.
And so margin of victory comes into it. And I think when you're a team like Reno does not have a very strong strength of schedule, does not have very many quote-unquote quality wins because they don't play in a major conference, and the seeding committee is looking at them, trying to decide what to do. They're trying to get their metrics as high as possible to kind of prop up their seed. They want a 1 or 2 seed. They do not want to slip into a 5 spot where they're not protected geographically. They can get shipped and maybe get a power conference team in the first round. So that's, I think, what's going on here. And I think he thinks every little bit helps, and he's going to try to run up scores. And the net is supposed to put a cap at 10 points, but when you have these other statistical values that factor in, that's kind of not really true. I think the bigger the blowout, the better it's going to help your net.
Yeah, I watched the net rankings come out when they did the top 16 the other day, and look, the top, probably the top 8, you're not going to get much argument from a lot of people. But then we got into the 3 and 4 seeds. I thought it very interesting that the committee chairman this year said Nevada was in the last conversation for, I think it was the last three line out there. And I think Iowa State got it. And his reasoning was, well, they have five or six quadrant one wins. And at that point, I said, okay, so you're telling me Nevada's going to probably go 31-1 now and still be a four seed? Because guess what? The rest of the way, there are no quadrant one wins. This league stinks. So you're saying right now, I think they're better than a four seed, but I'll tell you what, if that's your reasoning right now, how is that ever going to change? Because they will not have an opportunity for a quadrant one win the rest of the way.
Right, and that's the big problem is that, you know, you can crunch the numbers any way you want, but they become a self-fulfilling prophecy at a
right.
certain point. And when you say, so what they do to the quadrants is they rank every team by their NET, so 1 through 353, and then they divide them up into four quadrants onto your sheet. So the committee looks at what you did. They look at quality wins and bad losses. Bad losses are anything in quadrant four, which very few teams have, or quadrant three. And for example, a team like Utah State has one quadrant one win, I believe, or has three total in quadrant one and quadrant two. And most power conferences right now, this time of the year, will have 6 to 8.
Yeah, so they have no chance.
Right. Utah State has one more chance at a quadrant one or quadrant two win, and that's Nevada at home. And a school like Indiana, say, might have four more, five more once they get in, you know, six more once they get into their conference tournament, depending on how they do. So they could have 10 or 12 or 14. And here you're going to have Utah State with like three. And then you look at the bad losses, and they're not exposed to bad losses because everybody in those power conferences are ranked between 1 and 100, maybe 1 and 120 at the worst. Well, Utah State just lost to a 150 team in San Diego State, and I wrote about it today. It's an anvil on their resume. Nobody in their little area of the bubble has lost like that. And so that just pulls them down. And so what happens is when they say we're looking for quality wins or bad losses, well, the power conferences don't have, once again, their conference play, they don't play many teams that would qualify as a bad loss, and they have night after night after night, they've shot to quality wins. And even if they lose six or eight of them, they still can win six or eight of them, and they just look at how many you win. And so these power conference schools have huge advantages when it gets to selection.
Tough question in terms of being a little tricky and somewhat, people are going to think this is a little prickly in terms of bouncing someone, but when you look at the Mountain West and everything about it, should San Jose States of the world be in this league? Are they pulling them down too much in all these sports?
Well, you know, I think what happened is they panicked at a time when they wanted to have a conference championship in football, and they thought it was a way to get more money. To do that, you needed 12 schools. At the time, that was the rule, and so they started adding schools to get to 12, and they brought along all their baggage. And I just, you know, now you're sort of paying the price for it. And, you know, San Jose State cannot get its program going. You know, Wyoming, at least as bad as they are this year, they have been up in the past. They've won the conference tournament. They've gone to the NCAA tournament. Larry Schiatt was a very respected coach. But, yeah, I mean, a school like San Jose State is really, people test, they've taken a hard look at those guys. But, you know, it is very little precedent for kicking the team out of a college conference. It just doesn't happen, so I think they're kind of stuck with them.
And it starts to feel like San Jose State has not put any money into their athletic department whatsoever. You could just tell that there's like a huge binge, and it feels like within a year or maybe less, we might start hearing rumblings where like they got to get out and they're going to just start folding D1 sports status.
Yeah, I mean, the big question is if they ever get rid of football. And, you know, if you look at it, there's three Cal State schools out of the 20-something campuses that still play the high-level Division I football, and that's San Diego State, Fresno State, and San Jose State. All three of them at various times in the last 10 to 15 years have really kind of been on the brink where they're really upside down in terms of their budgets. They've had bad seasons and fans aren't coming out. But San Jose State is the one that I think eventually will drop football. I don't know when it will happen, but they'll be the one that goes first just because the finances aren't there, and they have a history with football, and so that's kind of what's keeping it there. And when you have athletic directors who don't want to be the guy known as the AD who dropped football, they're going to do everything they can, or the president, same thing, they're going to do everything they can to keep it going. I mean, they just added men's track because they thought it would be a way to attract more football players, and so they have the added expense of men's track. I mean, but you look at their basketball programs, both men's and women's are at the bottom of the conference. Football was at the bottom of the conference. And it's just very, very hard to sustain in this, you know, in this era. It's an ongoing arms race because the Power Fives and the mid majors try to keep up. They can't, And it's kind of Darwinism. You know, Darwinism. It's just the survival of the fittest. And survivor going to get, you know, the herd is going to get thinned, and they're going to be the first one that goes.
We didn't have you on when John Jones had his sample taken out of competition because it was around Christmas time. We didn't have you on back then. What was your thoughts on that? Because it was a substance that was tested at low levels, extremely low level, but it was a substance that was also detected in Jones' positive test from summer of 2017.
Yeah, you know, it gets tricky because if you take, say, like nandrolone, which no one takes anymore because it stays in your system forever, but if you did, you would have very high levels after you first took it, but it could be there 6 months later at a very low level. And it's very hard to you know, they have an easier time detecting low levels, but they have a harder time detecting what it's from. Was it just from a piece of meat? Was it from a trace amount that was in your supplement? Or was it from a full-blown steroid cycle several months earlier? And so that's why they have, full liability is, and zero tolerance. I mean, that's why they tell athletes, you better know everything that's going in your system, even if it's a trace amount of something, that's not an excuse. And so it's very hard to sympathize with him because he knows the rules. It's not like he is some new athlete on the scene who was up and coming and had no clue about the rules and doesn't have much of a team around him. This guy's worth, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars probably, and he can afford to have people around him make sure every single thing goes in his body, a personal chef, trainer, and someone just monitoring the substances. And to me, I just don't have any sympathy for him, and he knows the rules, and those are the rules, and you don't want to be suspended, then make sure you know what goes in your body.
There he is, best in the business, Mark Ziegler at SDUT Ziegler. Follow him on Twitter for all college basketball, Olympics, and doping stories. Thanks, brother. We appreciate the time.
All right. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
See you in a couple weeks here at the MAC.
We'll
be
Mark.
Easy to find. There'll be nobody there. I announced eight the other day. There was four in the house. Boy, those crowds are small. Who's coming to the Air Force game tomorrow night? Knights in town again? The back-to-back on Saturday against Fresno. It was a decent team, and it was a 2 o'clock start. So if you also had Knights plans, that was a 7 tomorrow night, head-to-head.
Ooh.
Don't like it. Announce 8-4 in the place. Come on.
It's a reflection of the growing pains in this city.
Oh, I hear growing pains a lot. When we come back, we'll tell you about our growing pains. It's Ed and Pains. It's Ed and Clay on a Monday.
That's the sound cosmic.
All right, 8:53 on your Monday morning here. Watch out for the accidents on Charleston at Durango. We also have a crash and a heavy traffic problem on Sunset northbound 215 near the airport connector. We also have accidents on Charleston at Eastern, Charleston at Lamb, Pavilion Center at Town Center, and on Charleston at Durango. We also have a crash on Charleston just northbound at Lamb with the left lane blocked.
This is your day. Your day to do what you love. Your day to be with the people who mean the most to you. Your day to work, to play, to make those big moments happen, and to enjoy the little moments too. This is your day to live to the fullest, and Southwest Medical, part of Optum Care, is here to help you do it. We put patients first. We build a preventative care plan around you, and we have over 400 providers in more than 35 locations, including convenient cares and urgent cares where you never need an appointment. And with hassle-free Now Clinic virtual visits where you see your doctor from home or on the go, plus secure online access to your health records through the MySMA Health Online Patient Portal, we're right there with you every step of the way. This isn't just any day. This is your day. So live your best, Southern Nevada, because healthy looks good on you. Southwest Medical Associates. See us at smalv.com today.
Expecting an insurance company to look out for your best interest is like asking Cofield to stick to sports. It's not going to happen. I'm Justin Watkins with Battleborn Injury Lawyers. What's more important to an insurance company, their bottom line or your best interests? Don't go it alone, and don't get ripped off. Call Battleborn Injury Lawyers and meet with me or Matt Hoffman. We will represent your best interest and work to maximize your recovery. If you've been injured, call Battleborn Injury Lawyers at 570-9000. That's 570-9000.
Hey guys, it's Tyler Bischoff. Have you ever had a manscaping accident? It's downright scary, but now preventable because of my friends at Manscaped.com. Manscaped's precision engineered tools are optimized for below the waist grooming and hygiene. I love their Perfect Package 2.0 kit that features Manscaped's legendary lawnmower 2.0 trimmer with skin-safe ceramic blades. A nick-free manscaping experience every time. Go to Manscaped.com and try the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with discount code ESPN.
Hey, this is Matt from 12 Volt Sex, and I want to invite you to come celebrate the music of 12 Volt Sex Saturday, March 2nd at 172, the new intimate rock club at the Rio Hotel.
They even have a sushi bar.
Join me, Jacob Chittister, Frank Klepacki, and Brianna Shen as we revisit the magic that is 12 Volt Sex with special guests Jesse Pino and the Vital Signs.
All I wanted to be stay, tell me, do you feel the same?
Saturday, March 2nd at 172 inside the Rio Hotel. Brought to you by Dollar Loan Center and New Moon Entertainment.
Hey, you wanna hook it up, you never say enough.
Tickets are available on Eventbrite.com. $10 in advance, $15 day of show. Doors open at 8 p.m. and the show starts at 9. The music of 12 Volt Sex. Saturday, March 2nd at 172 inside the Rio Hotel. Courtesy of New Moon Entertainment and Dollar Loan Center.
Sarcoma. Odds are you've never heard that word before. For the 40 people diagnosed with sarcoma every day, it is a life-changing word. Because sarcoma is cancer. Through awareness, advocacy, and research, the Sarcoma Foundation of America is bringing hope to the families whose lives have been turned upside down by a cancer they had never heard of until diagnosis. Please join us in the fight to find the cure for sarcoma. For more information on the work of the Sarcoma Foundation of America, go to curesarcoma.org.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
A Men's Health Moment with Dr. Arakaki.
6 million men over 30 years old are diagnosed each year with low testosterone or low T. Symptoms include moodiness, decreased sex drive, energy, and strength. Another reason to get your T levels checked.
Learn more at UniversalMensClinic.com.
Time to start planning for the 2019 swim season. Call B&D Pool Plastering and remodel your tired-looking pool. With B&D's 2019 swim season pricing, beat the rush. For a free estimate, call B&D Pool Plastering, 702-644-8980.
Contractor license 007-9414.
A heat pump is basically just an air conditioner running backwards. And with heat pumps, big, expensive problems begin as small, affordable problems that were ignored for way too long. Routine maintenance will keep your heat pump happily doing its job long after everyone else's has laid down and died. Let Gettle rejuvenate your heat pump, and it will say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you 24 hours a day. Just $129. And while we're there, we'll do a complete safety check and replace all the batteries and all your carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. No charge. You'll get a free Gettle flashlight, and you won't have to worry about being woke up in the middle of the night by that evil chirping of a dying smoke detector battery. No one knows heating and cooling like Gettle. G-O-E-T-T-L. It'll keep you cool, but it's hard to spell. Call right now, okay?
If you're lucky enough to live near the Napoli's Pizzeria on Warm Springs Road or the location on West Sahara, you're in for a treat. During game time, these two locations are offering a one-topping 18-inch pizza and 10 wings for just $25.99. That's a huge one-topping 18-inch pizza and 10 wings for $25.99. And don't forget, whenever there's a football game on, beer is just $2 at Napoli's. When you crave great pizza, Napoli's Pizzeria is the place to go. For the complete menu, just click LasVegasPizzeria.com.
We try to help a lot of people, and the only thing we can control is to be there as a support and to give a solution. What somebody else does with my message or does with what I say on a radio show is entirely up to them. You know, I can't force feed them a life of recovery. I can't force feed them, you know, the changes in me. you know, people ask the question all the time, you know, what if our listeners are skeptical about what they're hearing, because you've had a few chances here, and I always tell them, like, you know, this message isn't for them, right? This message is for the individual who still struggles. Mm-hmm.
And it's the voice of Ryan Leaf back here on the Press Box Morning Show. Rob Mish and I talked to Ryan Leaf while Ed was in the Super Bowl in Atlanta. Ryan stirred a lot of conversation, and it was a very telling and open and honest interview, which is out at lvsportsnetwork.com. But the reason why we played that back is that Ryan Leaf will be at UNLV today. He talked about his appearance as a keynote speaker. He'll be at UNLV inside the Student Union Ballroom today. That's 4505 South Maryland Parkway. The program begins at 6:30, and this is the No Hero and Heroine Foundation. Today is Black Monday. It's open and free for all the public. Donations are welcome, but attendees are families affected by the opioid crisis, and it'll be a mixed audience of those struggling with addictions, those in recovery, and friends and family of those loved ones who have lost someone to overdose, and community providers. This is from Ryan. He sent it earlier today. If people want to come out, free and open to the public, UNLV Student Union Ballroom. The program begins at 6:30. Ryan is the keynote speaker. He'll be up there at 7:15, and the program goes till 8 o'clock tonight.
Good stuff. Good stuff by you, Clay.
All right. Should we hit it? Is it time for breakfast?
Well, it is time for breakfast in the box. There we go. Hit it.
ESPN Radio 1100 and 100.